Well, happy birthday! Woo-hoo! Happy birthday, brothers and sisters! You see, today is Pentecost. It's a special day. This is the day that the church was born. So here we are, the body of Christ, united as one by love. We're all united as one by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's the love that unites us that is a fruit of the Spirit. Over the years, God has revealed Himself to man in stages. In the Old Testament, God teaches us. He teaches us with the law, and the Spirit would come upon a few of the prophets and the kings. At Bethlehem, God came to us in the form of Jesus Christ. And then, God was with us. And at Calvary, Christ was sacrificed as the perfect Lamb of God. He paid the debts for sin once and for all so that anyone who accepted payment was forgiven. At Calvary, God is for us. And then finally at Pentecost, God indwells all believers with the Spirit, so we have God in us. In the Old Testament, God teaches us. At Bethlehem, God is with us. At Calvary, God is for us. And at Pentecost, God is in us. This was God's wonderful plan from the beginning of time. So what actually happened at Pentecost? First, let's take a look at the working of the Spirit, starting with baptism. The Greek baptizo has two meanings. The first meaning is to submerge, which is why there are some denominations that believe that in order for a proper baptism, the believer has to be submerged in the water. Well, I went to Jerusalem or Israel not long ago, and if you go to the Jordan River, you can be baptized in the Jordan River. Right? They put a white robe on you, and they submerge you, they dunk you three times, baptizing you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, just as mentioned in Matthew. But there's a second meaning. And that meaning is to be identified with. In other words, if you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, you're identified with the Holy Spirit. And it's the second meaning that we often talk about. Water baptism is a person's public identification with Christ. The believer is making a statement, is identifying themselves with Christ. But baptism with the Holy Spirit, that's an act of God that identifies you with Jesus Christ. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is quite different from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptism is the identification of a relationship. Being filled is when the Holy Spirit takes control. Think of it like this. Being baptized by the Spirit means that I belong to Christ's body. But being filled by the Holy Spirit means that my body belongs to Christ. Baptism is once and for all. The filling comes as we trust God for the power to witness. Baptism involves all believers, while the filling of the Holy Spirit is personal and individual. Baptism is the work of God, but being filled with the Holy Spirit is a commandment. It's something that we take part in. Just prior to that Pentecost mentioned here in the book of Acts, the resurrected Christ had been with them for 40 days, and during this time, Paul tells us that at one time, 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. 500 people at one time. Jesus had eaten with them. Jesus had broken bread with them. He even fixed breakfast for them. And if we go back to the beginning of Acts, we read in verses 3-6, He presented Himself alive to them after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, You heard from Me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they came together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Stop and think about that for a second. We're tempted to just shake our heads and say, "Don't they get it? You know, it's like one of these." Christ was talking about his spiritual kingdom. I mean, here it is, they've been with Christ all this time. They saw the miracles. They saw him beaten and crucified, and they saw him resurrected. And they heard him talk so many times about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus even answered Pilate's question, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But we have to, cut them some slack. We have to consider that they didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have the other books from Luke and Paul and Peter and John. All they had for context was the Old Testament and their Jewish background. But that was about to change over the next 10 days. Acts 7 to 9. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and the cloud took him out of their sight. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus didn't correct them. He didn't chastise them. As always, he just loved them and he told them what they needed to know. His last words before being carried to sit at the right hand of the Father was that this ragtag bunch of fishermen and tax collectors would receive power from the Holy Spirit, power to be his witnesses to all the earth. And later in this chapter, we find that they spent these next few days praying and waiting and praying and waiting. And just before Pentecost, they cast lots to determine God's will. They cast lots and chose Matthias to replace Judas as the 12th disciple. Remember that. The apostles cast lots to determine God's will. We'll come back to that. So let's continue with our passage for today. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues appeared as fire above them and rested on each one of them. That must have been incredible. What we see with these last 50 days corresponds to three important Jewish feasts. You see, Pentecost is a Jewish feast also called the Feast of Weeks because it's 7 weeks after the Feast of First Fruits, the day after Passover. This is important because Pentecost is one of the three Jewish feasts where all the Jews were required to make a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. And with 120 believers here, the Holy Spirit makes a spectacular entrance. The passage says that the Spirit made a mighty sound like the wind. Let me ask, I'm just curious, Has anybody been close enough to a tornado to hear it? Nobody? So I grew up in Texas. And I fortunately was never close enough to hear one, but my father tells me, and others, that it sounds like a freight train. It sounds like a freight train running through the town. In fact, one person even said it sounded like 100 freight trains. He must have been really close. Now, they don't have tornadoes in Israel, but imagine all of these people here for this feast, and they hear this sound that sounds like a tornado, a freight train. What were they? They must have been amazed. So they all came around to see what it was. And then to show the disciples that they were intimately involved, and to indicate the presence of God, the Holy Spirit made himself appear as flames over each one. What a sight that must have been. But think about what it was for the disciples. Jesus had left them 10 days before. They were praying and he said that the Holy Spirit would come. They had no idea what it really meant. It's never happened before. And after 10 days, they might have been wondering, well, has it already happened? Maybe we just don't know it yet. I just see Peter and John. And now, is this the spirit that Jesus was talking about? They both thought and felt uncontrollable adoration. The evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit is a freedom from self-concern, a sense of the Holy Spirit's presence inside. They were released to praise God with unrestrained joy and gratitude. It's true. It's true. He had been faithful to His promise to return to them. Not only was Jesus resurrected and with them, but now He's inside of them. The rushing wind communicated His power. The fire set their minds and their hearts ablaze. They had no choice but to praise God over and over and over again. Let's continue. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They're filled with new wine." Indeed, what does this mean? For the first time, the Holy Spirit did not come just upon a few chosen to do God's will or to deliver God's message. For the first time in history, all those who believe in Christ were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then filled with the Holy Spirit, all to bring honor and glory to God. Notice that they were proclaiming the works of God, and it was being proclaimed in the language and dialect of every person there. Those who heard the disciples praising God in their own dialect were amazed at what they were hearing, and those who were not so moved, well, they did the same thing that so often happens today. They simply dismissed it. They swept it under the rug, if you will, and said, "Well, hey, they're just drunk." But oh, what a change. What a change in the disciples. Just the week before, the apostles asked Jesus if now was the time that He was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. But on that day, they were proclaiming the wonderful works of God, praising God in languages that they didn't know. You have to ask, do they even know what they were saying? At Gethsemane, the apostles all ran away when the soldiers came, but this day they were fearlessly submitting themselves to the Holy Spirit and proclaiming the great works of God to all. Just the week before, they cast lots to find out the will of God, remember? Well, that was the last time that casting of lots was mentioned in the Bible, because from that day forward, in the form of the Holy Spirit, the will of God was written in their hearts, as prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will write it on their hearts, and they shall be my people. No longer will they need to cast lots to find out my will." And Peter, the day that Christ was crucified, Peter denied even knowing Him. But on this day, Peter delivers the very first sermon of the Christian church. Quite a change, I'd say. We read, now, this is a part of Acts 2, verses 14 to 41. "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It's 9 a.m. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I'll pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and vapor, fire, smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Before the day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This, brothers and sisters, is whom you have been blessed with. This is who lives inside of you. Peter was a fisherman, but here he is in front of thousands of people reciting passages from the book of Joel. Peter, who in his weakness could not even admit knowing Jesus, becomes the rock upon whom Christ builds his church. Peter, whom Christ once said, get behind me, Satan, in the power of the Holy Spirit, delivers a sermon so powerful that 3,000 people were jerked out of the clutches of Satan. They were bought with the blood of Christ, rescued from death to life. They were brought from darkness to light. They became indwelt with the Holy Spirit. All in praise and honor and glory to God. And this is the very same Holy Spirit who is inside each and every one of us. Apostles who had followed Christ for 3 years, who were waiting for Jesus to do something, they were shaken to the core. And suddenly they realized that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were to be the body of Christ. They were to be the ones to do something. And did they ever? Scholars can't really agree. It's in Palestine at that time, they say there could be anywhere from 600,000 to as many as 4 million people. 4 million. So this was just a very small minority of the people in Israel, but on this day, Holy Spirit filled 120 ordinary people, fishermen, tax collectors, laborers. The Holy Spirit filled 120 people, and 120 Spirit-filled people turned the world upside down. And now we are the body of Christ for this generation. We are called to carry on. So what do we have to do to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, what did the apostles do? First, they had faith, right? Jesus told them several times he would send the Comforter. He told them that he would leave them, but he wouldn't leave them alone. He said he would be with them always, but that he had to go be with the Father. They didn't quite understand, but they never, ever doubted his promises. And second, they waited expectantly. Notice they didn't take things into their own hands, okay? They didn't go out and build a church or start a choir or form committees, no. They didn't do any of that. They waited and they prayed. And they waited and they prayed. They waited patiently, expectantly, for God's timing. And like always, God's timing was perfect. You know, all prophecies point forward to the coming of a suffering Messiah. Mashiach ben Joseph. All of the feasts point to the crucial events. The Passover, when Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, was crucified. The Feast of First Fruits, when Jesus was resurrected as the first fruits of the new covenant. And Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, celebrating the wheat harvest, when the church is filled with the Holy Spirit to reap the ripened harvest of souls at Jerusalem. Just at the right time when Jerusalem was packed for the festival. And third, they obeyed. Jesus said to stay in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere. Stay here and the Spirit will come. And did He ever come? He made such a racket that thousands came to see what was going on. This was God's perfect timing. For all who believe, this Holy Spirit is Almighty God inside of you. I beg you, would you just give up the pride, throw out your ego? And I know it's hard to do. But seriously, would you just let the Holy Spirit rule your life today? Trust me, by doing so, the blessings of God will rain down on you. And friend, if you have not made that most important decision you could ever make in your life, what are you waiting for? You don't know when your clock's going to stop. Jesus said that no one comes to the Father but by Him. And just remember one important thing. God has a lot of children, but He doesn't have any grandchildren. If you want to be a child of God, if you want the Holy Spirit inside of you, that's between you and God. It's simple, really. You know, God has a way of humbling the wise with the simple. All you have to do is pray to God and admit what you already know, that you've broken His laws, which make you a rebellious sinner. And, you know, God can't be around you in that state. There's nothing you can do about that. But the great thing, it's already done. You can ask God to forgive you. You can tell Him that you accept the forgiveness made possible by the sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus. That you want to turn away from your sinful nature and you want to follow Him. That you too want to be a follower of Christ. And if you make that decision to follow Christ, whether you're in the pews or listening on the internet or just whenever you make that decision, let us know. Because just like Pentecost is the birthday of the church, when you decide to follow Christ, you're a new creature. You're washed clean from all of your sins, past and future. You're what we call born again. And as a new child of God, you need nourishment to grow in your new relationship. And that's one of the reasons why this entire body of believers is here. We're a body of brothers and sisters who love each other. We help each other in our walk with Christ. And we want to help you in your walk too. Let's pray. God of grace, You sent the promised gift of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the women, upon Mary, the mother of Jesus, and upon His brothers. We ask that You fill Your church with power, kindle flaming hearts within us, and cause each of us to proclaim Your mighty works. Cause each of us to proclaim Your mighty works in every tongue to every nation, that all may call on You and be saved through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.